Hey, Warners. Oh, no, you're starting. I changed it.
I know. That's what I was just pointing out.
I thought I'd switch it up. Okay. Right. You're on.
Okay, thanks. Hello, Warners. Welcome to Women Your Mother Warned You About,
the podcast that makes sales sexy again. I'm Gina Tremarco, founder and sales trainer at Pivot 10 Results and Carolina Improv.
And I'm Rachel Pitts, mom, realtor, and creator of The Closing Curve. So Gina, how are you? You sounded a little Southern there for a minute.
Did I?
You did when you said the podcast makes sales sexy again.
I was trying to replicate you because usually that's your line.
Do I have an accent?
Sometimes a little bit.
When I get really mad, I do for sure.
I always have it in my head. The podcast that makes sales sexy again.
We do indeed. So how are we keeping it sexy today?
Oh, we are keeping it super sexy with Tom Ziegler, son of Zig Ziegler and the CEO of Ziegler Inc. How cool.
I'm wondering how we got so lucky to have such cool guests. We're just
because
killing
it. Because we're awesome.
I'm super grateful.
There are people banging down the door to be on this show. So anyway, a little bit about Tom. He joined the Zig Ziglar Corporation in 1987 and climbed from working in the warehouse to sales, to management, and then on to leadership. Today, he speaks around the world, hosts The Ziglar Show, one of the top-ranked business podcasts, and, oh, we need to be on that. We need to be on that show.
That sounds good.
We should tell him that. Make a note. Okay. And he carries on the Ziegler philosophy. You can have everything in life if you want, if you will just help enough other people get what they want. He is also author of the new book, Choose to Win, which we will talk about today.
Love it. I have always been a huge Zig Ziglar fan. And not just because his name is cool, but because he has so many beautiful, amazing, inspiring pieces of advice. And I'm just super thrilled to do this interview with him. And just got to throw something in that we have a really cool review that we received on iTunes. And here's how it goes. Since introduced to Women Your Mother Warned You About, I've become a Warner groupie. I love Gina and Rachel's chemistry and their ability to talk about issues salespeople face every day, openly and honestly. I became such a fan, I brought Gina in my office, lucky me, to conduct a sales training for my team. This is a must-listen podcast for all salespeople who want real-world advice in the moment. So cool.
Woo-woo! That was from Casey Hasten. And she's with VIP Recruiting in Dallas.
And she's adorbs. She's so pretty.
She's just awesome. And her team is super awesome. So it was really cool to be in their office and to get a review from her. So, hey, if you want to leave us a review, we might read it. We might read it. We'll definitely read it, especially if it's good. I don't think anyone writes bad reviews. I don't think so.
I don't know. I would love it if somebody wrote a bad review that's like, you suck, then I would be super thrilled because that means that we have drawn a hater. And usually when you get the attention of haters, you're doing something right. So
I love me some hate. It's okay. Don't hate, participate. So the best way for you to participate is to give us a review. Go over to iTunes. And I would say go to any platform you listen to, but I think it's iTunes that means the most when you do a review there, a review and a rating, 5 stars. I believe only 5 stars works. So just a heads up on that. But before we get started, we need to let you know that this is actually a two-part interview. So what you're about to hear will focus more on sales, and then you'll be able to listen to the other part of it on the Pivotal Leader podcast, where we focus on leadership. So you can find that show at thepivotalleader.com. That's the first show that I produced, and we keep it going, and it's back up and running now that Women Your Mother Warned You About is back up. So you'll hear part one on this episode, and I think this episode, actually the Pivotal Leader episode, will air first before this one does, for whatever that means for you. So let's get started with this interview, with this episode with Tom Ziegler. We're sure. I mean, I'm sure that you're constantly asked about your dad, obviously, and we will be no different to ask you about your dad. We love you, but, you know, obviously, we are huge fans of his and now yours. And you refer to some of your father's teachings throughout your new book, Choose to Win. And he talked a lot about persistent consistency as a cornerstone for a successful life. What relevance does that concept have with the famous block and a mailbox BAM story?
All right. Well, if you ever ask Dad, what's your number one reason for success? He would tell you character and integrity. And if you ask him, what's the number two reason? He would say PC. And he didn't mean political correctness. He meant persistent consistency. Yeah. And so I was with Dad and I really wanted to know the answer. I said, Dad, what is PC? Even though I'd heard it 100 times. And he said, son, PC is persistent consistency. Consistency is simply when you have a worthwhile goal or objective and you work on it every single day or as often as necessary. And persistency is while you're working on it, you take it up a notch. You do a little bit extra. You go a little bit further. You add a tweak to it. You do something. And that's really how he built his career. If you look at the cornerstones of his career, it was honesty and integrity, and then it was that PC. And the perfect illustration for that is when Dad talked about losing his weight way back in the 70s. He went to the Cooper Aerobic Center. They checked him out. They said, you can jog. So he gets all the equipment. And the first day, he ran a block. And then the second day, he ran a block and a mailbox. And then the third day, a block and two mailboxes. And then three mailboxes, then around the block, then two blocks. And so that's PC. Because he was running, he made a commitment to run at least 5 days a week. But every time he ran, he did a little bit more. He either went faster or he went farther. Now, there's a great sales application for this, too. Let's imagine that as part of your routine, you got to make 30 outbound calls a day, whether they're to cold calls or prospects. So the first day, you're going to do that 5 days a week. So you start doing it every day, 30 calls. That's consistency. But the first day you make your calls, the second day you tweak your intro just a little bit, just to see maybe if you can get a little bit more engagement. The third day you add a new question. The fourth day, you know, you maybe put in a little story or illustration, and you're constantly getting feedback for what persistency, what elevation can I give to my conversation? And when you do that, you build a career. It works in the service industry, works with your kids. It doesn't matter. It's just a principle that works everywhere.
That's really awesome. And do you think, I'm just thinking about all of these really great philosophies, which that one about the mailboxes I used so much with people when I was a fitness trainer. Like, it's really a visual thing that works for people. But when you were young and you were observing your dad honing his skills and perfecting his philosophies, were you in? Like, did you buy in at first, or did it take a while for you to be like, okay, you're right? Because I just started my kids on some personal development because I see them struggling with some things, and they're buying in slowly because they're like, that's pretty cool. But, you know, it's a tough buy-in when you're trying to like do this with kids when they just want to play video games.
Yeah. Well, the secret weapon is, we call it automobile university. And that's where you get them in the car and you put some Zig on. You make them take their headphones off, you know, this is family time, and you just get these stories going in the background. Everywhere I speak all over the country, there's always somebody who comes up, yeah, my parents raised me on Zig Ziglar, you know, and so what happens is when you're 8, 9, 10, 13, 15, you're like, oh, that's not cool. But you'll soon find out that when you stop the car to go in somewhere and the story's not done, they'll be like, wait, let him finish the story.
Awesome.
And so it's kind of one of those things that you may not feel like there's an uptake immediately, but over time you start to see it. And that's what happened with me as well. You know, I wish I was like the perfect shining example of the child prodigy who just took everything that Dad said from I was 10. That's not true. I still learn new things every single day.
You know, that actually reminds me of, and Rachel loves the story. It's the toaster story.
Oh, I could hear the toaster story. I just said my husband the other day, I said, I heard the toaster story 100 times, and every time I'm so happy to hear it.
So I'm going to push the toaster story on poor Tom.
Oh, I'm going to flip it back to Rachel. Tell us the toaster
story. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Tell us the toaster story.
When Gina was young, she worked in a flea market with her father, very young, I think about age 8 or 10. Mm-hmm. And they would sell their wares. There was perhaps, maybe or maybe not, some questionable acquiring of the items they sold at the flea market.
My dad was Italian.
Italian in Chicago. Let's just leave it at that. And one day, a man walked up and he wanted to buy a toaster that they had for sale on their table. And Gina's father said, it's $5. And the man said, $5? Well, I'm going to go look around. And he went and looked around to see if anybody else had a toaster. Apparently, no one else had a toaster. And the gentleman came back and wanted to buy the toaster. And Gina's father said, it's $10. So she learned very quickly, among other things, the law of supply and demand.
Scarcity.
Yeah. Scarcity. And I was, as a child, embarrassed. And great job on telling the story.
I have heard it at least 100 times. She's putting it in her new book that I have also forced her to start writing because she has so many good stories.
It's coming. So I grew up selling in a flea market. And that's, I think, where I really learned sales strategies. But as a child, I was mortified. I'm like, oh my God, Dad, take the money, take the money. And originally the guy offered it like $3. I'm like, just take the money. So I was so embarrassed. But then in hindsight, I think about all those amazing things that I've learned from my dad that shaped me into who I am. And everybody else along the way that teaches you. But, you know, those are pivotal when you're a child, those memories.
You know, that reminds me of we have a lady named Jill Helwig who worked for us for years, and she was our number one. She was a sales machine. Dad called her the bear hunter. And when she would do garage sales, she wouldn't put a price on anything. It was just there, and people would come up and they'd say, how much is this? And she'd just say, how much is it worth to you? Because awesome. Half the time, the value that somebody has is greater than your perceived value of what it is.
Right.
Right. And so that's just a great concept of just to find out what the value is to them before you get into it.
Well, it's similar to when we put out proposals, you know, our Pivot 10 results, my company, we do a lot of sales training. I never put a price in a proposal. And actually I never send a proposal till we can actually have a conversation and then we review it together. But I want to your point, I want to get to find out what perceived value they have on it before I just put. I hate when people ask for, like, send me the price, because yeah. I want to have a conversation.
Absolutely. And that's one of the dangers today. We talk about it in Choose to Win, but people rely so much on social media and technology, they forget about the most important thing, and that's the relationship. You know, that's eyeball to eyeball, having a conversation about what's important to them and what solutions you can bring.
That recently actually happened. Someone sent an email asking for a quote, and it's actually in the medical space because we do a lot of training in empathy for healthcare. And they said, "Can you send us a quote?" And I said, "I really need to have a conversation." Well, my director has to approve it, and I'm like, "The conversation?" I mean, I knew what they were saying, but I'm like, "Let's just have a conversation, and then your director can help you approve it."
Definitely. And I'm in real estate, and in real estate sales, things are moving more quickly. And there's so many agents that are utilizing technology to make things simpler, make things easier. And you never, ever get further than you get either being actually on the phone with somebody or being face to face. Like the text message thing and the email thing, it just doesn't work. The call and the face to face, because you can understand really what they need. They don't need a three-bedroom house with two baths. They need a yard because their dogs are so important to their children. You know, that you got to find all that stuff out.
Well, there was one thing you just said, which was a nugget. When you said, can we have a conversation first? They said, well, my director's got to approve it. You immediately qualified them and knew that they weren't the decision maker.
Boom.
Yes. Yeah.
So. Which was awesome, because one of the reasons why I wanted to have the conversation was to figure out who the decision maker was. Was it them? And it was actually someone who saw me speak at a conference and happened to be in the room. And I was trying to determine, was their boss in the room too? Was it just them? Are they the influencer? And, you know, getting through that entire process.
Nice work.
We'll see what happens. Back to your book. Your new book emphasizes the secret to winning at life is one good choice at a time. Could you elaborate on that and how that can apply in sales?
Yeah. Well, I was speaking in Australia. And this guy raises his hand and he says, Tom, what's the fastest way to success? And of course, I'd been doing this business for 50 years, my whole life. Nobody had ever asked me that question. Huh. And so I don't know if you've ever had the deer in the headlights look in front of 100 people, but that was me. So I went, and it felt like an hour, but it was probably 1 or 2 seconds. And then I said, well, the fastest way to success is to replace bad habits with good habits.
Oh.
And we went to break. When I came back from break, Steve McKnight, the host, said, hey, did you hear what Tom said? Get your pen out and write it down. And he said, the fastest way to success is to replace bad habits with good habits. So I wrote it down. I was like, did I really say that? So I go home and I Google it, or that night I Google it. Nobody claimed it. So we put a quote poster up on our Facebook page. So we could have, you know, boom, we got the stake in the ground. And then I started investigating, is that really true? And we teach that there are 7 areas of life: mental, spiritual, physical, family, financial, personal, and career. And so if we looked at each one of those areas and we said, wow, if I just replace a bad habit with a good habit, and I did that on a consistent basis, what would my life look like? It would totally change. Totally change. And so the byline is transform your life one simple choice at a time. And so mm-hmm. the simple choice is look at any of your area of your life and understand what bad habits that you have, and then replace them with good habits. So in sales, one of the most common bad habits that I see is people will start the day without a game plan. You know, they'll just go in, they'll see what fires are burning, and they'll progress through the day. That's a bad habit. What if the last thing you did every day, you know, before you shut it down and said, now I'm with my family, now I'm doing this. What if all you did was you game plan the next day? You just lined out, okay, here are the key accounts I'm calling. Here are the follow-up calls I'm making. This is, you know, the work I've got to get done. And you just kind of lined it out. Probably for most people, and that's 5 or 10 minutes. So now what happens is you start and you're running, right? It's not the yawn start. It's not the uh-oh start. It's not the what's next start. It's here's the plan. So that's the idea of replacing a bad habit with a good habit. And I will tell you this. There's a thing called a vacuum. And so just eliminating a bad habit is not enough. So somebody who says, well, I'm going to quit drinking soft drinks because that's a bad habit, they'll quickly switch to Twinkies. I mean, you know, it's just, and so you've got to replace that bad habit with a good habit. And so in Dad had this termite philosophy that I love. He said that hurricanes and tornadoes get all the publicity, but when it comes to damaging homes, termites do more damage and they take such little bitty bites. And I think that's the way we could look at anything in our life. What are the little tiny bad things that have crept in that we can replace with little tiny good things? And we do that every day, every week, every month, and all of a sudden we're a whole new person.
That's big time. That's really great. And it is so applicable to fitness and sales and everything, because people think they're going to make some huge, big change. Like they're going to have a tornado of positive change through their life, but usually that's a big fail.
I'm putting something on my camera or on the camera right now. So we bought an elliptical about 3 weeks ago, and I want you to see the block and a mailbox in there. So I started off with 12 minutes, and then I went 13, and then 14, and then 15, and then 16, and then 17, 18. I'm doing HIIT training on it, so I'm doing 3 cardio, 1 strength. But now, you know, now it's up there, and my body didn't freak out. My energy's up. I mean, all these things, and all I did was add a minute a day.
Yeah.
So
I had a personal training client back when I was a trainer, and she came in. She could barely get through a minute, and she came in not really to get fit, but to save her life because she was in trouble health wise. 1 minute was where she started. And by the time I stopped working with her, she was at like 30 minutes and everything had changed. And it happened over several months. And it's incredible what small changes, you know, it's the butterfly effect, you know?
Yeah. I read a study on that where they took 2 groups of people. Both of them wanted to lose weight. Both of them were committed to running like a 5K. And so they set like a 90-day goal. Hey, so they took half, and these were equal groups. So they all needed to lose weight. They all wanted to get in shape. So half the group, they said, hey, just start jogging, build up, do the 5K. The other group they worked with, and so they asked this group, they said, do you watch TV? And of course, 100% of the hands went up and said, yeah. So then they said, well, can you do this for us? The first week, we want you to spend 30 minutes while you're watching TV, just do it standing up instead of sitting down. The second week, they said, will you, while you watch TV during the commercials, walk in place? The third week, during the commercials, will you go out to the mailbox and come back? Something like 85% of that group that started off incrementally finished the 5K. Less than 30% of the people who just started running even did the 5K.
Wow.
And so that's the idea of a bad habit with the good habit. So bad habit, sitting on the couch. Good habit, you know, doing something productive while you're doing that. And there's something mental that goes on about the idea of I don't have to sacrifice more time to get it done, right? Because I get to watch TV anyway. I get to do this other thing anyway. And so you gradually you build into it.
That's how I clean the house. when I'm watching TV, and the rare times that I do, I can never sit idle. I get up on the commercial and like empty the dishwasher.
You know,
I just don't watch it.
If everybody did what you did, there'd be the houses in America would be so much cleaner.
Right.
Instead, most people who are watching TV are scrolling Facebook during commercials is generally what happens.
Yeah. Oh. So what you just talked about, would that run parallel to, I know that somewhere in your book you address how to achieve massive change without massive upset. Is that kind of along the same lines?
That's absolutely it. It's, you know, that's kind of one of the tags on the book is that, you know, if our goal is to run a marathon, you know, we don't set the marathon date, you know, on Monday, especially if we've never run before. We set it out 6 months or a year, and we get a plan in place where we build up and we do all those things. And as we do that, we grow into it. Anything should be the same way. In sales, what you want to do, and I'm going to give you just kind of a quote because it's a great little illustration. I wish I knew who said this, but here's the image. A tree's fruitfulness depends on its rootfulness. So the fruit of a tree depends on the roots of the tree. And so when you're listening to this, I want you to imagine it. You've got a tree, and just imagine drawing all the fruit that you want on it. Peace of mind. You could put dollar signs on it. You could do the vacation or the dream house, college, education. It doesn't matter. Whatever fruit, friendship, relationships, you start drawing those fruits on the tree, what you want in your life. And then just remember, you still got those 7 roots: mental, spiritual, physical, family, financial, personal, and career. And so now what we've got to do is we've got to nourish the root that's going to produce the fruit. So your fruit in sales might be, you know, hit 150% of quota. So you go down to the root, which is career. And how do you nourish the root? What are the habits that are going to allow you to hit 150% of quota? And that's what you work on. So habits nourish the root that produce the fruit. So the whole book is about habits, but I like for people to start with the fruit. What do you want in your life? And then you trace it back to the root. Well, it's going to be either mental, mindset, spiritual, you know, faith, integrity, character, physical, right? Because one of the realities is if you're in bad physical shape, you don't have energy, you don't have creativity, you don't have capacity, that's going to hurt your sales. Bottom line. So sometimes the fruit of sales will come from several different roots. Yeah. If your relationships at home are in trouble, your sales are going to suffer. So you've got to look at all of those to produce that fruit.
You know, a couple years ago, I got like this shocking out of nowhere anemia, and it set me back. And it was a real aha moment of I didn't have time to build my sales funnel. And while we still had business coming in, I wasn't building the funnel because I was down for like, I don't know, 3 or 4 months. And you start to see how all of that has a trickle down effect in your business.
Yeah. And what I tell people is there's 7 areas in our life, but there's 3 we've got to do every day, the physical, the mental, and the spiritual. If we're not taking care of those 3 things, then we're going to get in trouble.
Yeah. And sometimes people are successful, but those things are, it's like having a rotten root down in the bottom of your tree. That's not healthy, that people can sense, they can sense it. And I've been there. I've been an unhealthy emotional place in my past, and like upon reflection I know that negative undercurrent was there, and even though I was still successful in what I was doing on the surface, people could sense that undercurrent. And you know, it's so crucial that, especially the mental, emotional, and spiritual, like you mentioned, that foundation's got to be there, that gratitude, that attitude, you know, it's got to be there or people know it.
They do. In fact, anytime you have a gut check with somebody, like, you know what, everything looks good on the surface, but I'm just not sure. What I do is I go around, we call it the wheel of life. I just go around the wheel of life and I think mentally, you know, where's their attitude? Where's their mindset? What's their belief? Spiritually, I mean, are they solid? Are they a person of character and integrity? Physically, are they, you know, is there something about them physically, their health that's, you know, got a question? Family. Gosh, you know, they travel 350 days a year and they're married. What's going on? You know, I mean, it's just, and as soon as you go around the wheel, you usually find the one place and you're going, ah, that doesn't make sense. And people know that intuitively, but if you do it intentionally, it'll save you a lot of time and heartache.
Yeah, wow. I just did that immediately with something I've been struggling with, and I pinpointed, you know, that person has something going on in one of those areas. And it probably is great to do that for people that you might be struggling with so that you can create empathy of like, okay, I know there's something going on with that person's family or health or whatever that might be affecting their decision making in the relationship.
That's really important in sales. I think this goes back to emotional intelligence. And I think, Tom, you would agree with that. The higher your emotional intelligence, it's about being self-aware, but it's also about being socially aware. And when you can tap into what's going on with somebody else, your empathy will also kick in. I mean, this has happened to me many times in sales calls and prospecting where I get emotional about, gosh, how much more work do I have to do to get you to buy? And then I realize it's not about me. It's about other things that they're dealing with. And so when you can become aware of that, that's where the trust comes.
Yeah, I love the story brand concept where as the salesperson, as the speaker, whatever your role is, you're not the hero. They are.
Right.
You're the guide. And what guides do is point out pitfalls and better roads, right?
Right.
And if the person you're leading on the journey is struggling in some area, the guide stops and says, hey, let's deal with that. You know, if you need to put a Band-Aid on your foot, let's do that first.
Well, speaking of truth guides, I think that in your book, you can be someone's truth guide. And I'm just looking at the title of your book sitting here on the desk, and it's Choose to Win. And I think it's such a profound title because so many people out there in sales and in life, they don't believe that they're winners. They don't realize, or they don't even know that winning is a choice. No matter what goal it is that people are setting out there, whether it be couched 5K or becoming the number one salesperson, it's a choice. And like you said, changing those bad habits to good, but everybody can choose to win. And some people are just frankly not making that choice. And they're sitting in, oh, everything's terrible and I just can't do it. And it's just not meant for me. But choose to win is just a great, great title for people to latch onto.
It is. It's definitely a choice. We had a working title called Live to Win. And of course, immediately people would say, well, how can I live to win? Because this happened and this happened and this happened and this happened.
Interesting.
And the reality is I've got thousands of stories who had things and happen in their life that you would never want to have happen in yours. And they're winning. They're climbing Mount Everest and they're blind. They're, you know, they're doing things that you can't even imagine. And they're winning anyway. There was one story of they interviewed these twin brothers, grew up in the same household. One of them was in prison for life. And they said, why are you in prison? And he said, how could I not be in prison? My father was an alcoholic. He was abusive. He was demeaning. I ended up right where I was supposed to. Of course, the other brother owned multiple businesses and gave millions of dollars to charity. He was an icon in his community. And they said, what do you attribute to where you are today? And he said, how could I not end up here? I mean, my father was the worst example in life. I did every choice I could to be the opposite of him.
Wow, that's powerful.
They're twin brothers. So yeah. It comes down to we have a choice. Regardless of what's happened to us, we can make a decision right now that's going to improve our future.
And your dad probably said this. I don't know. This is not my quote. It comes from some wise person of, you know, if you can't change something, you can change your attitude about it. And I think that's what comes, what it's about, making that choice to change your attitude, because you can't fix or change everything.
Right. And dad always said that a positive attitude will outperform a negative attitude every time.
Oh gosh.
And here's the reality. It's not negative to identify a problem. That's not negative. It's only negative if you stay focused on the problem. Yeah. So what we do is we focus and we identify the problem, and then we move immediately to what's the solution.
Speaking of your dad, as we get ready to wrap up this episode with you, you know, your dad's been quoted quite a bit by leaders and salespeople. Do you have a favorite Zig Ziglar quote?
Yes, I do.
What is it?
So in the book, I talk about the number one lesson I learned from my dad, and that is the lesson of input. We can choose our input. So my favorite quote of dad is this: you are what you are and where you are because of what's gone into your mind. And you can change what you are and you can change where you are by changing what goes into your mind. In other words, what the input that we have, that determines our thinking, which goes into our beliefs. That's kind of an endless cycle. Our beliefs and our thinking then determine our actions. Our actions determine our results. So if we're not happy with where we are today, all we've got to do is change the input. So I took dad's quote and I made a little Tom Ziegler version of that. And that's, what you feed your mind determines your appetite.
Ooh.
That's good.
We're going to start quoting Tom now.
Yeah.
What you feed your mind determines your appetite. And I take it literal as well as figuratively. Yes. Right?
Exactly. Because it's sort of like when you're trying to kick something, you're trying to kick sugar, right, Rachel? Like, the more sugar we eat, the more sugar we crave.
That's right.
But when we start to eliminate it.
I'm about 65 pounds lighter than what I was for, you know, many years of my life. And one of the keys to me losing weight is I started reading everything I could about health and nutrition. And I learned what happens when you eat a processed carb with a lot of chemicals in it and how your body transforms that into mucus. And I just got this mental picture of, man, I don't want to eat a bag of mucus. You know what I mean? It's like, think about it. That's a great appetite suppressant.
Yeah.
And so what I learned was, is that what I was reading and what I wanted to become, as long as I was inputting my mind with that, I wanted more of that. I wanted to do more. My appetite actually changed by the mental input of learning about health and nutrition.
Oh, that's great. Thank you for sharing that. And thank you, Tom, for being on Women Your Mother Warned You About today. It's a pleasure and an honor to have you here and to have you make time for us.
Awesome. And Tom, how can our listeners reach out to you or learn more about you?
Two ways. The first one is you can get the book at choosetowinbook.com. And there's a place there where when you order, I'll even autograph the book and sign it for you. So that's kind of cool. And then I do something kind of funny. I put out my email address, tom@ziegler.com.
We're going to be emailing you.
Yeah. So if you're listening and something hit you or you had a question, that's the easiest way. You can go to ziegler.com. Millions of people do. And Zig Ziegler Facebook page, we got 5 million fans. But we're just blessed. Everywhere I go, I meet family that I didn't know because they've been listening and reading to our stuff. And so for me, life is fun. It's like everywhere I go, I expect to meet friends and family I've never met before.
Oh, good. I come to Dallas a lot, so I'll knock on your door.
Yeah, you need to.
Awesome. So thank you. Once again, thanks to Tom. And thank you to all of our Warners for listening to this episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About. And remember to hear more from Tom, bounce over to thepivotalleader.com, where our conversation with him continues in leadership. And to connect with us, go to womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com, where you can also find free downloads. And to connect with me directly or learn more about Pivot 10 Results and Carolina Improv, visit ginatremarco.com.
And to connect with me, Rachel Pitts, visit theclosingcurve.com or find me on social media as Rachel on Real Estate. You can find our show also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
And as we mentioned earlier and often, please give us a rating and review. And we believe only 5 stars is currently working on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And hey, Warners, remember, for the best relationships, keep it real, raw, and relevant.
And a little irreverence doesn't hurt either.
Bye, Warners.
This really will get serious soon.
Yeah, it doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.